Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. We're going to look at two verses tonight. If you'll join me on the second verse, we're looking at verses 41 and 42 of Acts chapter number 5. The last two verses of that chapter. Stand with me, please. I'll begin at verse number 41 of Acts chapter number 5. Please join me on verse number 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come now, and Lord, we're just asking that you please meet with us. Lord, I know there's a lot of folks that are tired, Lord, from serving you today. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please just recharge us tonight, Lord, that your word would please put a fire in us, Lord, to go out and continue to serve you this week. And I pray, Lord, that you please be the special music, prepare our hearts for the sermon, then be with our preacher as he comes. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson flow. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone hear the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control, I will tell them of the crimson glow. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross, he thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold, I will give the Lord control, I will tell them of the crimson flow. I will tell them of the crimson flow.
Appreciate that tonight. Good. I want to speak to you on this subject. The ball and the tires are still round. Let's pray. We'll get into it. The ball and the tires are still round. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for the good song. It does fit the message. They had no idea, and I had no idea. But you put the two together, and I'm thankful. Help me tonight, please. Speak to our hearts. from this familiar passage of Scripture in Jesus' name. And amen. In a world of fast-paced change, there are still some elements of various things that do not fluctuate or change because they are essential to the makeup of that particular subject, whatever it may be, everything. Now, let's take the matter of baseball. I have been to one baseball game in the last 2 to 3 years, and a lot has changed when you go to a ball game. The thing, I guess, that bothers me more than anything is the constant bombardment of entertainment between the innings. They're throwing T-shirts and hot dogs, and I mean, they're just carrying on like crazy between the innings of the baseball game. The video boards are going constantly. Now you've got replay challenges that are looked at by the umpires, and all that is different from how it used to be when I would go to a ball game as a boy once in a while. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, there's still home plate, there's still three bases, and they're still all 90 feet apart from each other. And the pitcher's mound, what is it, 60 feet, 6 inches from home plate, I believe. That's how it's always been. That's the same. The bats are still wooden. The umpire still calls balls and strikes and safe and out. Still throws some managers out of the ball game, I guess. And the ball is still round. Still round. It'd be hard to have baseball with an oblong ball. You ever thought about that? It'd be hard to play baseball with a football. You ever watch these guys trying to pick up a fumble? You think that bouncing piece of pigskin would be easy to pick up, but it's really not because of the way it bounces and everything, because it's elongated, filled with air. But that baseball is still round. There are some fundamental elements that are unchanged that make baseball, baseball. You take vehicles. I said before, vehicles have turned into they're rolling mobile family rooms. Buttons control everything from seats to temperature. You can listen to CDs, MP3s, or watch a DVD. You can push a button that closes a door, opens a hatch and closes a hatch and locks the doors and controls the windows. Sensors control your brakes. Sensors can help you know if there's somebody on your right, if you're about to turn into somebody that's on your left. There's all kind of things that make a car different today than it used to be. But there is still an engine and there's still a drivetrain and there's a brake system and, at least for the time being, a steering wheel. That may be the next to go. And the tires are still round. It'd be difficult for a vehicle to be a vehicle if the tires were not round. So the vehicle, the tires on the vehicle are still round because there are some fundamental elements that are unchanged that make it a vehicle. There's some things about baseball you can change, alter, add, and delete. But the ball's still got to be round to play baseball. Some things about a vehicle that you can change, alter, add, or delete, but the tires still have to be round for a vehicle to be a vehicle. Now, the same thing can be said about the ministry of a local New Testament church. There are some things that change. Nothing stays the same. All of us change. We say sometimes we never change. Person, the only person that never changes is God. Only to ever change. And this book right here. But hey, we all change. And churches change. And there are some things that can be altered. There are some things that can be added or deleted in a local church ministry that don't really mess with the fabric of what makes up the church. But there are some things that make up the fabric. It's part of what makes a church a church. When you take those things away, you've messed with the ball. You've messed with the tires. And you can't have baseball if the ball's not round. And you can't have a vehicle if the tires aren't round. And you can't have church without some things that just can't be changed. Now, you realize that the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. If you have your Bible, that's the official name of the book. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. You'll find that before the first chapter 1 and verse number 1 begins. And it largely centers around the church in Jerusalem and its activity, both in Jerusalem and as they began to take the gospel to the world. Now, by the time you get to the end of chapter 5, much has happened The church has been empowered by the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people saved, baptized, and added. The church has grown exponentially since that time. God has confirmed the gospel message to the Jews by giving the apostles power to work miracles. You remember when Peter and John went to the temple and there sat the man by the gate beautiful, and he was asking for money, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and that man went on his way leaping and shouting and praising God. And he got down. The Jews saw that, and that was God confirming His Word and the Gospel to the Jews. It got to the place where the very shadow of Peter passing over folks who were sick, they got healed. That doesn't happen today, folks. That was in a transition period from Old Testament to New Testament, and from the law to grace, and that doesn't happen today. But God was confirming His Word to Jewish people in Jerusalem. The religious hierarchy had commanded the apostles to cease teaching in the name of Jesus. The high priest put the apostles in prison, and then God got them out. And they went sent some people down to get them, bring them up here before the council. And they came back and said, "Man, the folks that were in jail are gone." And so they're down there in the temple preaching and teaching, and they went and got them and brought them up there. The apostles were eventually beaten, and they were commanded again, second time, to cease speaking in the name of Jesus. And the end result of all this, stop speaking in the name of Christ, stop teaching in the name of Christ, the end of it all was verses 41 and 42. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to not be liked. Counted worthy to not be appreciated. Counted worthy to not be popular for Jesus' sake. Friend, I want to tell you, if a church is not popular because it's got ill-spirited, mean-spirited, ill-dispositioned people, shame on the church. But if the church is not popular because its message is Jesus saves, what are you going to do about that? And there's an element in fundamentalism today that's trying to remove that. They're trying to remove the offense of the gospel. Trying to tell you that you need to exist in your community as one that is just loved by everybody. Excuse me. Loved by everybody and appreciated by everybody and everybody. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the church that they had in Jerusalem. That's not been historically churches that have served God with power. Look, I'm not trying to make enemies. I don't care to make enemies on purpose. That's foolish. But if you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're taking that gospel message to the community, not everybody's going to appreciate it. You're not going to be popular. And they counted it, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer. They were not well spoken of by the town's hierarchy. They were not that appreciated. And that's what happened here. And the Bible says in verse number 42, after that they were beaten, they were counted, they were rejoiced that they daily continued to teach and preach Jesus Christ, verse 42 says, in the temple and house to house. Both. And as we have noted time and time before, this is the pattern, this is the model, this is the example for the local church today. And I believe God put this in His book for you and me as an example. I don't think it's here just for the historical record. I think God speaks to New Testament churches in this day and age, and He says, this is my pattern. This is my model. This is my example. And I want to say, let's give you some thoughts tonight from this. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus was the subject of their message. Jesus was the subject of their message. Look at verse 42. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that this was both in the temple and in every house. And the important thing, friend, was the message of Jesus. It was in the temple. Bring the people to the message. And then it was in every house. Bring the message to the people. Because you got to get the message and the people together. One way or the other. Bringing the people to the message or bringing the message to the people. The message has got to get to the people. The people have got to get to the message. Be it at church, be it at home, be it at work, be it at the hospital, be it at the nursing home, be it on the bus, be it by way of printed track or by way of verbal witness. Get the message and the people together. That's what the emphasis is. And the message is simply Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know, the honest truth of the matter is, I've said before, you start trying to win somebody to the Lord, be a witness to your neighbor, your relative, a co-worker, somebody somebody that you know in the area. It's best not to start arguing with them about sins that are going on in our nation today. So best folks not to get off. Look, sinners need to know that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for their salvation. You stay on point. The Bible says they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Recently, while visiting with someone, they made this statement to me, and this is what they said, and I believe I have it word for word. I firmly believe we have to get people to Jesus before we get them to church. Now, for the record, I find no fault in the idea of getting people to Jesus before we get them to church. I find no fault with that. Truth of the matter is, in some cases, you may get some people to Jesus Christ that you never get to church. They may never darken the door of a church. They may not come. But friend, this statement was said to me in the context of casting doubt on the importance of the local church. And I take issue with that. I will bark, I will preach, I will holler, I will rebuke anybody who downplays the significance and the importance of the local New Testament church. I will continue to do that. And that was said in that context. I have no problem with getting people to Jesus before you get them to church. But I have a big problem with downplaying the importance of a local New Testament church. I'll tell you what, you take the church out of America, take the church out of the world, you know what you got? It's called tribulation. That's what you got. You got a mess. We don't understand the restraining power of the Holy Spirit of God that works through a local New Testament church for a community. We don't understand that. And I'll tell you something, friend, with all of my heart, I say, God bless the local New Testament church. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing folks to church to hear the message of Jesus. And I have no idea how this will turn out, but I just am curious tonight. I wonder how many of you, you know, I attended church. That's where I got saved. I got saved at church. I sat in a church service on a Wednesday night, heard the message from the pastor. God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit was already convicting me, bringing me under conviction. And I raised my hand, and I believe that I got saved when I stepped out of that third pew. I believe when I stepped out of the third pew in that little church in Tennessee, I was saying yes to Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. Well, that's when I got saved. I'm just curious, how many of you visited a church and you got saved at church, or you got saved at home after you visited church because somebody made a follow-up visit to you? Would you raise your hand if you got saved at church? Now just look around the room. Look around the room. There's nothing wrong with getting the message. There's nothing wrong with bringing people to Jesus first before you get them to church. I wouldn't argue that with anybody. But don't talk about the fact, don't downplay the importance of the New Testament church and getting people to the church if you can't get them to Christ. Don't downplay that. The Bible says that in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach. All these newfangled, cute little statements that everybody reads on the internet, I guess. You know, I don't know what they do with the plain black and white words of the Scripture. I want you to do with that. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ daily in the temple and in every house. Take the message of the take the message to the people. Bring the people to the message. The most important thing is get the people and the message together. That's not always convenient to take the time to take the message to the people, but it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing. And you don't always have the best results, but it's the right thing to do. Ben was telling me a hilarious story. He was up with his family at Brother Caleb's missions conference while we were in missions conference here. And he and Caleb went soul winning one afternoon together during the missions conference. And they were knocking on doors and they were alternating. And it was Brother Caleb's turn at the door. He knocked on the door and this elderly couple came to the door. He was in his early 90s and she was close behind in her late 80s. And Caleb was talking, and you know how intense Caleb is, you know. And he said, and it came up in the conversation, I forget how, but it came up in the conversation that this was both of their second marriage, that both of their first spouses had died, and they married each other, and they're now been married for 26 years. And Ben said, you know, that Brother Caleb, 26 years, oh wow, man, 26 years, what a blessing! And the lady was smiling, and the man just went, well, that's what he said. And he said it kind of took Caleb back a little bit, but Caleb just plowed on ahead, you know, and talking to him. Then he got around to asking about, do you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? And the woman spoke up, shaking her little head, said, yes, I think I'm going to heaven. I've been saved. I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven. And he said to the man, he said, how about you? He said, no, I don't know. And he said, oh man, listen, you need to get saved. You want to spend eternity with your wife forever in heaven, don't you? Well, he said, and so I don't know. Evidently, he had a different view of their marriage relationship than he did, and since she did. And so I said to Ben, I said, how did it go? He said, it went downhill from there. We didn't get very far after that. But anyway, I mean, boy, that must be tough. It must be real tough to prefer an eternity in that place as opposed to being in heaven with your wife. That must be real, real tough. But anyway, well, he said, he wasn't sure about that. Now, sometimes it doesn't go exactly as is planned, but this matter of getting the message to the people, getting the people to the message, folks, I wouldn't downplay the importance of either one of those. And I think they're both biblical because the Bible says, and daily in the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The subject of their message was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now, number two, I want to say this tonight. I want to say that the Holy Ghost was the source of their boldness and power. The Holy Ghost was the source of their boldness and power. Turn back a page to Acts chapter 4. Look with me at verse number 18. This is all within the context of what's happening here with the church in Jerusalem. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse number 18. Now, this is when they first had that man at the temple healed, okay? And people, there was an uproar. Man, it was a notable miracle. They couldn't deny it. So the hierarchy got together, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Don't mention His name anymore. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and we've heard. And that was their response. Look down at verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they went and they told the other apostles and crowd there. This is what they told us. Look down at verse number 29. They're praying. They're praying. Their prayer begins in verse number 24, and they're praying in verse number 29. And part of their prayer is like this: and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And they were threatening, folks. I mean, the word threatened is used throughout the chapter here. Behold their threatenings. And God, look what it says, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's a convicting statement, if you ask me. They were threatened about the matter of speaking in the name of Jesus. And you know what they prayed for? They didn't pray for protection. They didn't pray for safety. They said, God, give us boldness to speak in His name. That was their response to the crowd that didn't want to hear. Give us boldness. Look down at verse number 31 here. Look at verse number 31. They asked God for boldness, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Now, people, listen very carefully. We have already entered into the time period in America where churches like ours, people out knocking doors and folks come up and say, get out of this building. We don't want you here. Leave this trailer park. There's no soliciting in this complex. When you're out witnessing, you're not soliciting anything. You're not raising money. You're not trying to sell anything. You're giving a free message of the gospel of grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know the attitude and the response that you sometimes hear out there. It's a very, and as I think Brother Luke was telling in bus meeting here a few weeks ago, him and Mick were out on a Thursday night, and it was just one of those nights where it was wham, wham, even before they got to the door, wham. Now, if we're going to be like they were in the example church, the model church, they didn't stick their thumb in their mouth and whine and stick their tail between their legs and whimper away. They prayed, God, give us more boldness. Give us more boldness. Because the message needs to be heard. And the message has got to get to the people, and the people have got to get to the message. So God, help us not to be fearful and afraid. God, give us boldness. And they prayed in verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the result of that filling? They spake the Word of God with boldness. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great opposition needs to be met by great boldness and great power. And folks, I don't have that boldness and that power. You don't have that boldness and that power. That only comes from the Spirit of God in us. But I want to tell you that the same Spirit that lived in them lives in me. And the same Spirit that lived in them lives in you. And we don't need to stop going door to door. That's the Bible example. We need to go door to door. We need to go with boldness. We need to go with the right attitude, the right disposition. But we don't need to become more fearful in this day and age. If there's ever a time when you and I need Spirit-filled boldness and power, when we witness, it's now. And the Holy Ghost was the source of their power. We need God's power to be in us, to be on us, to fill us, the same Holy Ghost who indwelt them and filled them and used them lives in us. Oh, that we would desire His fullness. We would not be fearful and afraid in this day when people's attitude toward Christianity is as nasty as it's ever been. I don't think it was any more nasty than it was back then. And they prayed, God, give us boldness. When's the last time you prayed for boldness before you went out visiting? The last time you prayed for the Spirit of God to fill you. You know, it's good to go, but it's not good just to go to put in the time and do the status quo. Not just to go in the routine. Make it the routine. It's good to go in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are several people in this church who have witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit at work in a visit when speaking to an unsaved person. You've seen it. You've seen God quiet that person. You've seen God put that person under conviction. You've seen them lock in, lock, stock, and barrel, and sincerely give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. If that happened, friend, that was not in my power or in your power. That was in His power. What we need for this day and age is more boldness. We don't need fear. We need boldness. We need this power of the Spirit of God in our bus ministry visitation, in our Tuesday morning, in our Saturday, Tuesday afternoon, our Tuesday evening, our Saturday morning. We need the Holy Spirit power in all of that visitation, all of our witness. The Holy Ghost was the source of their boldness and power. Jesus was the subject of their message. The Holy Ghost was the source of their boldness and their power. Number three, I want to say this tonight. Jerusalem was the scope of their work. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 20. Look at what happens here. After they prayed for boldness, after they prayed for God to fill them, in chapter 5 and verse number 28, I'm sorry, I said 20, verse number 28, they're brought before the council, and here's what the council said. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. That sounds like boldness to me, does it you? Threatened, but bold. Bold because the power of the Spirit of God was upon them. Now listen, when I think of the word scope, when I think of the term scope of the work, I learned a lot from Brother Dennis back in the days of the building programs here. And I remember in the building program when the subcontractor was bidding on their respective area of work, that Dennis was on the general contractor representing our church to make sure that the subcontractors understood the scope of their work. All that it entailed, from this to that, from start to finish, because they're going to submit a bid. And if they don't understand the scope of their work, they won't bid it properly. They may submit a bid for 90% of the scope of their work, and we expect 100% to be done. We had to explain to them, had the general contractor be careful to explain to all those subcontractors the scope of the work, all that was involved in what we expected from the electricians, all that was involved in what we expected from the HVAC, and on and on and on with every subcontractor. Don't miss the scope of the work. Now listen, the scope of the work for the church in Jerusalem, you know, the scope truthfully was the world. Because that was Jesus' instruction. Be a witness unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm glad they did not overlook Jerusalem. They did not overlook their city. They did not send money so the message could be taken to the uttermost parts of the earth while neglecting their own city. And we can't do that either. Now, I'm all excited about the missions conference and how God spoke to hearts, and the missions offerings have been good. And I hope you're praying and ask God, you prayed and ask God what your part in that would be. But folks, I'm thrilled for all of those missionaries on the wall out there. I'm thrilled to take on the new missionaries that we hopefully will be able to take on. But that doesn't release us from our responsibility to fill this city with our doctrine. To fill it. And I don't know how we're going to do that apart from door to door and in the temple. Apart from bringing the people to the message and taking the message to the people. They filled the city. Now think of that. Filled. They filled it. That means everywhere you went in that city, if you mentioned, hey, what about those folks that are talking about this man Jesus? Everybody knew something about it. They filled it. You probably can still find areas in Kankakee, Bradley, and Bourbonnais that don't know anything about the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, don't know really anything about the message of Jesus Christ. And they might have lived in this area for years and years, but every time one of our soul winners goes by their home, they're not home. Nobody's confronted them. Nobody's talked to them. We've not yet filled our city. I'm all for sending the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, but our job here is not done. It's not over. I believe it's something for us to set as a goal, something for us to achieve. And I think we don't, you know, there are some things that we can change, some elements that you can add and delete, but there are some elements that are fundamental in order to make things what they are. The baseball, the entertainment, and the video, and the replay has all changed, but the ball's still round. And if it wasn't round, you wouldn't have baseball. And the vehicles have changed, and man, they're just like rolling family rooms, but the tires are still round. And if you didn't have round tires, you wouldn't have a vehicle. And we're doing something this fall that we've never done before. I'm not afraid of new things. Not afraid of new things. We're going to have, on October 17th, we're going to have Neighborhood Appreciation Day. That's what we're calling it. They're going to know it as Family Fun Day. And we have chosen specific areas in our neighborhood, right across the street over here, down the street behind us, and around this church. We have targeted specific streets, houses, and doors, and we're sending out a little invitation. We're inviting the families that make up the neighborhood of Faith Baptist Church to a free family fun day. David Bishop is coming in on Friday night. He has 8 huge inflatables. We have 2 inflatables here. We're going to have 10 inflatables, carnival games, hot dogs and stuff, all set up out in the grass. And we're telling our neighbors, come and from 4 hours, from 1 to 5, enjoy yourself. No strings attached, no cost, no preaching. You come and just have a good time. We appreciate our neighbors. And we're going to have people from the church walking in and amongst the folks, making sure they're having a good time. Not out there to witness. Not out there to dog anybody about salvation. Just, hey, are you having a good time? We're glad you came today. Thanks for coming. I am excited about doing it. Bishop, I didn't know that other churches had done this. He said, man, I know a church in Arkansas that had 300 people from their community attend their family fun day. That gave them some opportunities. Now when you go knock on doors, you're not just the church that runs the buses through the neighborhood at 8:30 on Sunday morning. You're the church that went to the cost of putting up a bunch of inflatables, and all their kids came and had a good time, and there's no strings attached whatsoever. Just family fun day. Coming. I'm not against things like that. You can add things like that, folks, and not change the fabric of what a church is. But if you take away going door to door and taking the message to the people and bringing the people to the message, now you've messed with the fabric of what makes a church a church. Now the ball is not round, and the tires are not round, and you don't have what they had in the book of Acts. Brother Mick's going to be announcing here in just a little bit after the services we're done here in a few minutes about this fall program and the emphasis is once again on outreach and going out. And I'm excited, you know, the teenagers have had a resurgence on Tuesday afternoon of visiting. They're sharing the gospel like they've never shared the gospel before. I'm just blessed by it. It's unbelievable. Brother Mick has a great report just about every Tuesday night about something that happened on Teenage Soul Winning. It's been very, very encouraging. I don't know how things are going on Saturday morning with the bus routes and on Tuesday nights. We have a pretty good crowd. But here's one thing. You can chart this over the years at Faith Baptist Church. You can chart historically this right here. You'll find this to be true. The greater number of people that are out on the street, the more visitors we have in the pews. That's the bottom line. You can't change that. You know why you can't change that? Because I believe that's how God set it up. That's how God set it up. You take the message to the people, you bring the people to the message, but you get out and you get out on the streets and you invite them. If you can talk Christ to them at the door, great. But if you can't, invite them to be your guest to the temple, to the church, because the message there is going to be about Jesus Christ as well. And that's been a historical truth. The more people out on the streets, the more visitors we have. It's time tested. It's very simple. People, the ball and the tires are still round. If they weren't, it wouldn't be baseball. It wouldn't be a car. And you take away taking the message to the people and bringing the people to the message. The tires aren't round, neither is the ball. You've messed with the fabric of what makes a church a church. And that's not my idea or opinion. That's printed right there in that old book. That'll be there when you and I are long gone. It'll still be there. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you help our church, please? God, we so desperately need to stay on point and on target with this. God, I pray that you'll help us in a day of opposition to what we're preaching tonight. In a day of changing what the very makeup of a church is. And downplaying the importance of church. I pray that you'll help us to stay on target. To stay on point, to be focused. Lord, help us to fall in love with you. And with the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that He so graciously has provided. And Lord, whether we take the message to the people, or bring the people to the message, would you help our church? Would you help us be faithful to that fundamental element of what makes a church a church? Speak to our hearts tonight, O God. Help us to be faithful to what you would have us to do. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's a very simple message. Jesus was the subject of the message. The Holy Ghost was the source of power and boldness. The source of power and boldness. Jesus the subject. The Holy Spirit and the Jerusalem was the scope of their work. My friend, our work is not over. If it was, Jesus would have already come and taken us home. It's time to stay busy for the Lord. If you've fallen out of the visiting and knocking on doors and seeing people, visiting new visits to the area, baby visits, if you've fallen out of the habit of that, let me encourage you, jump back in. Jump back in because it's the biblical thing to do, to stay faithful, to take the message to the people, or bring the people to the message. May God help us. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, I would love the opportunity for somebody to show you how to be saved. You come at the invitation. If you're here tonight to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, now's the time to come and get ready for that. And we'll have that in just a moment. And some are coming for baptism tonight. If the use of the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about this matter, the ball and the tires are still round. There are some things that can't be changed, or you mess with the very fabric of what it is, the makeup of it. And we can't change taking the message to the people and bringing the people to the message, because that's our model. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Come as you will. Maybe if you're in the habit of going, it'd be good for you to kneel and pray tonight. God, fill me with boldness. Give me your power, your Spirit's power. Fill me with boldness. Use me, please. Help me be a witness. A Spirit-filled witness. The ball and the tires are still round. It's the fabric of what it is. Just the piano, please. Just the piano for a little bit here. I am told from time to time, well, Pastor, I just don't believe you do it that way. I do it another way. And you know, folks, for the life of me, I've never seen the people who tell me that ever bring anybody to church. You know who I've seen bring people to church? Folks that have been out visiting. And I think it's done this way. This is how I do it, but it's never done. Some methods and ways of doing it are time-tested. God's on it and uses it. It's fundamental to the fabric of the New Testament church. Let me encourage you to not mess with the ball and the tires. They're still round. It still works. Let's obey God and let Him give the increase. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the privilege to serve you. Bless these next 4 weeks. I pray, God, that you'll speak to us. That, Lord, you'll help us to see not only people come to the message, but help us to take the message to people. Speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for it, God. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen.